Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. All right, have a seat. Well, you never get, you know, it's comical. I told my wife that you guys act like that. And all right, take your Bible. Turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, all right? Take your Bible. Turn to Deuteronomy. Boy, I'll tell you what, it's exciting to be in chapel at Hiles Anderson College. And as the trio sang, I appreciate that. They did a great job. And, you know, I do feel, and I've always felt this about chapel at Hiles Anderson College, that the Lord is in this place. And I just can't emphasize to you enough to enjoy the moments you have at college. And there's just so much information, and it is a lot of work. There's no doubt about it. But this, just the friendships that you're going to make, the acquaintances, they'll be lifelong friends. And you'll always have a place in your heart for this place. Now, I didn't graduate from Hiles Anderson College. That's the biggest mistake I've ever made in my life. Biggest mistake I ever made in my life. The biggest regret, for sure, that I have is I did not graduate from Hiles Anderson College. And you know what? Just went against godly counsel, did my own thing. But all the time I was away, you know, doing what I wanted to do, I always thought about what would it have been like if I would have just stayed and finished. I believe this. I believe I would have been in Grand Junction, Colorado, 20 years before I got there. And for me, there was a lot of wilderness wandering that I had gone through. And by the way, the wilderness wandering is not good. It's not comfortable. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God begins to work you over in those times that you're away from the Lord and knowing you're not in His perfect will. And I just want to say to you, stay put and finish. Stay put and finish. And then, as I mentioned yesterday, the principles, the truths that you will receive from the instruction in your classrooms, in this chapel hour that you have together, if you will take those principles and those truths and you will apply them to your ministry, whatever that might be, whether that might just be ministering to your family, you'll be successful. You will be successful. And I believe more than anything else, God wants you to be successful. As I made mention yesterday, God needs you to be successful. He needs you to be successful. He wants you to be successful. In Deuteronomy here, we got chapter 6, if you find that in your Bible, Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And our church is going through transition again. And our church for 20 years has been in transition. I can't tell you the last time I remember that we weren't remodeling something, that we weren't, you know, we've had houses donated to us, we've had properties given to us, and, you know, we've always been busy. We're always busy doing something. Our folks don't know what it's like just to sit around and just relax. I often wonder what it would be like to pastor a church like that, to be able just to take a step back and just kind of let things cruise for a little bit. I had one of our gentlemen come up and said, "Pastor, when are we going to stop?" And he looked at me and said, "We're never going to stop, are we?" And I said, "Not as long as I'm alive." But a church is always in transition. The church is always to be moving forward. And God blesses. And by the way, God wants to bless you. He does. He wants to use you in a mighty way. And again, if God can use someone like me, He can use someone like you. Boy, you take that to heart. You take that to heart. God wants to use you, and God wants to prosper you, and He wants to bless you. The children of Israel also, God wanted to bless them. And He told them that they're going to go into the land of promise. They were going to go into Canaan and possess the land, and it was going to be be theirs. But along with that prosperity, God began to warn them. And there is sometimes some warning that goes along with blessing. And we need to understand how this works. And I think we've got a good example of this. And I was just reading through my Bible, and we were in Deuteronomy just a few weeks ago. And I shared these thoughts with our church family, because I never want our church family to get to a place where we have been prospered. And again, for our church, you got to understand, we started off very, very small, very, very humble, very, very meek little church. And for whatever reason, God saw fit to bless our church. And He has blessed our church. When we're done with our building, and not, you don't want to quantify ministry based on the buildings and the financial aspect of a church, but, you know, last year, I mean, when we started off our first year, maybe we had $25,000 come in through the offering plate. Last year, with all of our ministries combined, okay, we're not First Baptist Church, okay? But we had $1.6 million come in. $1.6 million. When we're finished with this building, our properties will be valued at $5 million. $5 million. And when we started 21 years ago, we didn't have a chair to sit on. We didn't have a hymn book. And for whatever reason, we didn't have an offering plate. That's how we started. And I'm saying this, God wants to do the same for you. He wants to prosper you, just like He wanted to prosper the children of Israel. But He brings a warning. Now in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, notice with me verse number 10. And we'll just read some scripture here and get right to it, okay? And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which He sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, I mean the blessings of God, which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then notice what he says, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him, and shall swear by His name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted Him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and His testimonies and His statutes, which He hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. For our church, you know, we're going into a building project, a $2.5 million gymatorium. And as I had made mention, I don't remember if it was in chapel or in church, but where we came from, we had 24 parking places, and we had 5 room for Sunday school. We were that church that had Sunday school in the hallways. We had Sunday school on the buses. We had Sunday school. We didn't have any rooms. One of those 5 rooms was our nursery. And so we didn't have any of that as far as that. We had a parking lot that parked 24 cars. We had 24 parking places. Our choir took up the choir, took up the parking lot. If you weren't in the choir on Sunday night, you didn't get a parking spot. When we had big days, I had to warn everybody that you need not park close to other people's driveways out in the community. On one Sunday morning, we had 5 people ticketed for parking in people's in front of their driveways. It's a blessing, amen? And so we know what it's like to go through those times, and then God moved us to where we're at now, and we've got 33,000 square feet to house our schools, and we carved out a little auditorium there, and God has prospered us. God has prospered and blessed our church. It's honestly, in my mind, it's a miracle. It is miraculous. And again, God wants to do the same thing for you. And now we're building new construction. We're going to build a gym auditorium. For the first time in 21 years, we're going to have a fellowship where we're going to actually be able to sit down at a table. Most of the time, our fellowships, we'd have the chairs back to back. The floor is where we would put our drinks, and we'd put our plates on our laps. And that's how we had fellowships for 21 years. We never had any room to do that. We have a little student center that would sit about 100 people, but we can't have fellowship up there. We can't do those things. And I'm a little bit fearful for our church as we go into this building project that we're going to get to the place that we feel as though that we have arrived and that we have seen the prosperity of God. And God's done something well that it will begin to change us. And I just don't want to change. And I'm not interested in change. And here you are at college. And you're going to graduate someday. And you're going to feel good about that. And you ought to feel good about that. But don't let your graduation and the success that you've had. And by the way, graduating from college is success. That's a great endeavor. But don't let it change you. Don't let it change who you are. Notice with me in verse number 10, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee the great and goodly cities, to bless you. That's what he's going to do. He tells us to beware. And so let me just give you a thought here. First of all, beware of prosperity. Beware of prosperity. There's a calm that comes when you feel as though that you've reached a certain level. And you need to be mindful of what got you there in the first place. Amen. And what got us to where we are today is we ran buses. And we went soul winning. You have organized soul winning time and training times for folks to go out. And again, where we started the church, that was foreign to them. Nobody was soul. There was no soul winning church where we were at. There wasn't any kind of that activity, door to door soul winning and doing those type things. Listen, we've been prospered. We're good. But I don't want to lose the roots of what got us to there in the first place. So you have to understand that sometimes prosperity is more of a curse than it is a blessing. And not that it's you can't enjoy that prosperity, but you need to beware of prosperity because it'll maybe get you to take your foot off the gas a little bit and slow down a little bit. In The Kings in Shirt Sleeves, written by William Barker, he said this, "We are all caught in a trap. It goes like this. Our religion promotes the good character qualities of hard work, thrift, and honesty. Hard work, thrift, and honesty usually means that a man gets ahead. Getting ahead involves making money. Making money implies success and luxury. Success and love of luxury can come between the man and God. This means that you and I are put in a dangerous position. We are successful people. We are reasonably well off. We are tempted to love our luxuries more than our Lord. Thus, our faith produces some dangerous possibilities. For the material success that comes from our hard work and frugality and honesty is hard to control. In fact, it can lead us to wanting more and more, using others and forgetting God. This can happen to the congregation of a church. More than one congregation started as a poor, struggling group, yet dynamic and alive, then gradually became successful and lost its soul. The church, obsessed with cushioned pews and expensive stained glass and well-paid choirs, but unconcerned with missions and souls, is in such mortal danger." You're going to pastor a church someday, and you're going to work in ministry someday, and you're going to graduate, and you're going to go there, and you're going to feel as though you made it. Don't let that success, that prosperity, get you to forget God. Amen. And what got you there in the first place, and the call of God that was put on your heart, and the will of God for your life. Because you need to fear prosperity. Moses said, beware. Beware of prosperity. It's a dangerous thing. So we don't want to forget the Lord. Notice with me in verse number 12 here. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord. You don't want to forget the Lord. He's the one that got you to where you are as far as success is, which is going to come to you. You don't want to forget the Lord. And you don't want those successes to obscure the vision that you have for God and the vision that God gave for you. And again, for me, I'm a little concerned, and for us, this is a big step for us. We've never had these kind of facilities that we're going to be going into. And listen, there's a lot of excitement there. And my plan is that we're going to have the biggest day that we've ever had. And we're going to run. We got four buses. COVID, we're down to three buses. We're going to run as many buses as we possibly can, because the work that got us to where we're at is the work that is going to sustain us and keep us going. And Moses is telling the children of Israel, when you get into Canaan and you're in your goodly cities and you're eating from the fruit of the land and you're enjoying the success that God gave to you, beware. Beware. Beware of the change that prosperity brings. I'm 59 years old. I've been saved for 38 years. The first 5 years, 20 to 25 years of age, I was just learning to walk with God and to spend time with God, and I was more concerned about what I had going on in my life than what was going on in the nation and for sure in independent Baptist churches. After a while, I began to pull my head up out of the sand, and I began to look around. And there were dear friends that I went to Bible college with that I felt as though that were men and women of God. But they changed. There's a lot of change in churches today. I would imagine Pastor Wilkerson, he travels. Those that would travel with the tour groups, you've seen change in churches because it got easy. It got comfortable. And they changed from running buses. When I first moved to Grand Junction, I was invited to lunch. It was actually breakfast with the pastor of another local Baptist church, Independent Baptist Church, and three retired pastors. They invited me to breakfast, and I had no idea what they wanted. I thought they were going to extend a helping hand, and you know, we were in need of chairs, go figure. We were in need of some chairs, and our ministry was growing. We were doing well. And immediately when I sat down, I knew I was in for it. The pastor of this local church said to me, he said, "Listen, by what authority do you have to come out here and start this church?" I was not ready for that. And I said, "Well, my sending church, First Baptist Church in Plattsmouth, Nebraska, Pastor Wicks," I said, "I'm out of his church, and I'm here to build a church for the glory of God." And he said, but what authority? And I said, "I don't even know what you're asking me." We named our church Landmark Baptist Church because of the Mount Garfield and Grand Junction. The Colorado River used to be called the Grand River, and it joins there. There's a junction of the Gunnison River and the Colorado River, and that's why it's called Grand Junction. It's the Grand Valley is what it's called. There's Mount Garfield, and there's mountains, and you got the Grand Mesa, which is the highest flat-top mountain in the world. 200 lakes up there. It's just absolutely gorgeous, and we're right in the valley below that mountain. And they asked me, he said, "Are you a landmarker?" And I said, "I don't even know what that is." And I guess there's a group of people that they go by Landmark Baptist churches and they're landmarkers. I didn't even know what he was talking about. I said, "No, I don't even know what you're talking about." And then he said this to me. And I'm in the middle of eating. I enjoy eating. I was eating. And he said to me this. He said, "Listen, if you think you're going to come out here," this is what he said to me, "if you think you're going to come out here and do it like they do out east and run buses and soul winning and try to build your church like Jack Hiles," well, come on, he said, "you're not going to be able to do it out here." put my fork down. And I said, you know, thanks, fellas, for inviting me, but that's not what I wanted to hear today. And I got up and I walked out. It was about 4 years later, that pastor sat in the back of our church who was out of the ministry, and I was preaching to him. The things that you learn here apply and don't change.
Amen.
They work.
Good.
They work.
Good. Good.
And you don't have to change your music. You don't have to change the standards. You don't have to change on the Word of God. You don't have to come up with a new way. You don't have to come up with all the different newfangled ways that everybody's going about it. Just do what you've been taught to do, and you'll be successful. Beware of tempting the Lord. Notice with me verse number 16. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. For sake of time, I'm not going to go there. But in Massah, there was no water. And they weren't able to get the water. And there's a little phrase that the children of Israel brought again. This is in Exodus chapter 17. You can look it up later. And they said, because there was no water there, they said to Moses, is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord with us or not? When God brings you prosperity and God is blessing you, don't question whether or not God is doing it. Just go with it. That's what I'm just going with it, you know. It's like, okay, what's next, you know? Just go with it. But they began to tempt the Lord by questioning whether God's presence was with them or not. Now listen, they're going to be blessed. They're going to have prosperity. That's not the time to turn around and start being critical of what God's done for you.
Right.
And start whining and complaining. I mean, it's so easy to whine and complain. I get it. It's our nature and it's part of the sin curse that we have. And, you know, everybody wants to whine and complain about something. And I just... We're going into the new building, and this is what I said to our people. I said, don't go in there and complain about the carpet, because there isn't any. I was preparing our people, telling them we're going to have one light bulb that hangs down in the middle, and that's it. Because I don't want them to go in there and complain about what's not going to be done, because we're not going to be able to finish it all the way that we want it. But I don't want to go in and then immediately hear complaining. Whining, tempting the Lord for what he's done. And don't be like that. Be thankful for who you are again and what God is doing in your life. Number two, beware to forget your duty. Verse number 13. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. Fear the Lord and continue to serve him, who is merciful, who is the supreme one, who is to be reverenced. Continue to bring honor and glory to his name. Don't change from that. Don't allow the prosperity to come and to change you. Because let me tell you something. Prosperity will change you. When I moved to Grand Junction, Colorado, this is really sad, brother. But I used to do all the maintenance on my vehicles because I didn't have any money. I got paid $750, you know what I took. Okay, I didn't not get paid. I took $750 out of the offerings every month. That paid my mortgage. I had no other income. I had no other way to get money. I had a man that I preached for in Omaha, Nebraska, a pastor there. I preached one time. I preached one time for him. Never heard anything back from him. One day, I mean, I'm trying to find a job, and I'm like, honey, I don't know. I think I'm going to have to go get work as far as work a secular job and start the church, which I really resisted. I didn't want to do that because I didn't believe that that's what God wanted me to do. And I had saved money and did well, you know, buying and selling houses, you know, when I was in the Army and different things like that. So I had some money. But I was to the place where I was like, okay, it's getting a little bit too deep. I need some income. I got a letter in the mail from him and his church, opened it up. I remember I was sitting on the couch. I came flying up out of the couch. My wife said, what is wrong? It was a check for $500. And he said, listen, as long as you need it, you have a check every month for $500. But I didn't have a lot. So I changed all the oil. I did all the maintenance on my vehicles. I did everything. And then God began to bless. My salary increased. And you know something? I can't remember the last time I changed the oil on my vehicle. I can't remember the last time. I get a text message that says, come and have your oil changed. I'm like, well, okay, it's time to get my oil changed. Prosperity will change you. You need to be aware of that and understand that so it doesn't ruin you. And it's so important there. And you say, well, Pastor, what's so good about this? It's a temptation. Do you understand in this portion of Scripture right here, when the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm talking these verses that we just shared here. In these verses, verses 10 through verse number 19, when the Lord was tempted in the wilderness, three times, two of the verses that he quoted to defeat the temptation that Satan was bringing to him are in those verses right there that we read. God takes the whole idea, and again, some of the temptation that Satan was giving to the Lord is, you know, hey, listen, I'll give you all this, which is ridiculous. It was his anyway, but, you know, I'm just going to give you back what's yours, you know. But the Lord Jesus Christ quoted from this scripture right here because the Lord knows it's temptation to us when prosperity comes. You are going to experience prosperity in your life. God is going to open up doors for you. Things are going to come together, and God's going to place you in a place where you can thrive in ministry. Beware. Beware that you think that you arrived. Beware that you think that you have become somebody, because you're still a dirty, rotten, no good for nothing, rotten sinner is what you are. And beware, because prosperity will ruin you, and it'll take you. Here's what you'll feel. You don't have to go soul winning anymore. You don't have to work on the bus route anymore. You don't have to have those scheduled times that you go out and now listen now, and you personally are knocking doors and giving the gospel out. It'll be hard for you even to give out a gospel tract. Why? Because you've experienced prosperity. Beware.
Amen.
Beware, because it'll change you. It'll change you. Heavenly Father, I pray that in some way, somehow, Lord, that this would just be a message to the servants of the Lord here, that they would beware of the prosperity that you want to give to them. Beware that it doesn't change them and make them become something that they're not. Lord, we love you so much, and we're so thankful for your goodness. And thank you, Lord, for prosperity. And we know that prosperity and spirituality can dwell together, because you promised us prosperity. You promised us good success. So it has to be able to dwell together. Lord, keep us spiritual as we work through prosperity. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and stand to your feet this morning. Go ahead and stand to your feet. And as the Lord leads, you come this morning.